portions of my message are stolen from a great message I heard years ago by Mark Moore. He was a professor at Ozark Christian College, and he's currently a teaching preacher at Christ Church of the Valley in Phoenix, Arizona. So would you pray with me? Father God in heaven, you have given me this message to share with your church. And I just want to deliver it from your heart and not my heart. So help me to be an encouragement this morning. Help me to bring your word with truth. And God, I ask if there's somebody here in this room that needs to hear your truth, that you would open up their hearts and their minds to receive it this morning. I pray this in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, my message this morning is called Motherly Metaphors of God. It's a strange thing when you say he acts like a man, and that's a compliment. But when you say quit acting like a woman, that's an insult. But it's not a strange thing when you say that the Holy Spirit acts like a woman. In fact, my bride, Jenna, the mother of my children, acts like a woman, and I like it. It's a wonderful thing that our God has a feminine side to him. I don't want you to think that I'm trying to be edgy or push the envelope. I'm not the first person to notice that the Holy Spirit has a feminine side. Jerome was a church father, we call a church father, who lived in the 4th century. And he had a commentary on Isaiah, and this is what he wrote. He wrote, "The Holy Spirit is my mother." But the quote continues, he says this, "No one should be scandalized by this, since in Hebrew, spirit is in the feminine gender, while in our language, Latin, that was in the 4th century, it is a masculine, and in Greek, it is neuter. There is no gender in the Godhead." None of that makes a difference. To call a word masculine, feminine, or neutral is not about gender. It's about what we call declension. It has nothing to do with what we today would consider gender. But Jerome is also right. The Godhead has no gender. And he has imbued himself into us, and we have gender reflecting the various aspects of the Godhead. God is neither man nor woman. He is beyond gender. He is the great I am, or more accurately, from Exodus 3:14, I will be what I will be. Because of the humongous absence of fathers in America, there seems to be a very negative outlook on our God. So mothers have picked up the slack admirably. Maybe if it's possible to look at the Holy Spirit as a mother, they might have a positive view of God because of their own good relationships with their mothers. But no, Jerome and I are simply saying you don't identify the masculine and feminine qualities of God by linguistics involved, but by the metaphors. God the Father, God the Shepherd, God the Judge, these are all appropriate masculine metaphors. That's why we call God He. But the Holy Spirit has a number of metaphors too, and most of them are feminine. The Holy Spirit might act like a mother more than a father. In John 15:26, it says this, "But I will send you the Helper." The Greek word paraclete, sometimes translated as comforter or advocate. "The Spirit of truth," Jesus said these words, "he will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." And that same word helper is used to describe Eve in Genesis chapter 2. "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." An ancient theologian named Methodius said that the Trinity is a model for the nuclear family here on earth. And in fact, every human relationship that we have is a gift of God to understand how to have a relationship with Him. father-son, brother-brother, sister-mother. All of those relationships help us to picture the divine God. But here's the danger. Some people have taken this too far. Pagans today, commonly today, call God the Father, there's a mother God, and a child God. And I'm not suggesting that God the Father and God the Mother got together and had a baby and named it Jesus. That would be pagan theology. The Episcopal Church was featured in Christianity Today just a few years ago. And from their office of women's ministries, they celebrated a new Eucharist. Eucharist is a communion, a holy communion. And they called it in celebration of the divine feminine. And in it, they replaced unleavened bread with raisin cakes, because raisin cakes in pagan Druid religion is a celebration of the divine woman and all of her fertility. And they plagiarized the pagans without giving any credit. They plagiarized from the Druid religion and called it Episcopal Christianity. But it doesn't stop there. Even the Druids plagiarized idol worshipers in the Old Testament. Hosea 3:1 says this, "The Lord said to me, 'Go show your love to your wife again, Hosea. And though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to other gods and love the sacred raisin cakes.'" We eat the unleavened bread as we eat communion. But this pagan idolatry has been going on forever. That's not to say that raisin cakes are bad things, but they are bad when you use them to worship the wrong god. I love raisin cake, by the way. If anybody wants to give me some raisin cakes, that's great. So let me continue. I'm not trying to place a gender on God, but I am going to look at biblical examples of the Holy Spirit, and most of them are going to be feminine, and these are merely metaphors for our Holy Spirit. So the first one is this: delivering a baby. In John 3:5-6, it says this, "Jesus replied, 'I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life.'" Beautiful verse. Jesus is trying to talk about baptism here. It's very important. You know, I've been present for both of the deliveries of my baby girls. I have caught both of them as they emerged from the womb. And as much credit as I want to take in helping to deliver our daughters, I was merely a spectator. My bride was the one who did all of the work. I was a spectator. And we see a baptism and we say, there's new life and new birth. And we think we had something to do with helping someone to become a Christian. But we were only spectators. Long before that life was birthed in a baptistry, there was a fetal spirit being developed by the Holy Spirit. We look at someone's decision to be baptized and we say, they've been coming to church for a few weeks or months or years, but the Holy Spirit has a much broader view of conversion than that. Do you think you became a Christian because you were clever? You were birthed. And while in this gestation period, as you were being formed, the Holy Spirit loved you completely. And when you came out of the baptistry, the Holy Spirit didn't just slap you on the bottom and send you on your way. No, He held your hand and He nursed you along until you could stand on your own two feet. And the Holy Spirit, like your own mother, will never not be your mother. Now, the second metaphor that we find in the Bible is that the Holy Spirit, like a woman, talks a lot. The Holy Spirit talks in dreams, in visions, in prophecies, in inspiration of Scripture, in speaking in foreign languages, we call them tongues, through inner impulses. And women can talk with their mouth, but they also talk with their body language and the roll of their eyes. When is a woman not talking? Women have this beautiful ability to communicate while we guys just go, "Ugh." A study was done to see who talked more on children's playgrounds, boys or girls. That was a good way to spend taxpayers' money, wasn't it? Girls articulate 26 times more words than boys. Are you surprised? Some men in this room are thinking, my wife isn't talking to me right now. Brother, if your wife's not talking to you, she's still communicating. And you better listen. The number one job of the Holy Spirit, both Old and New Testament, is to communicate. And when does the Holy Spirit not communicate? If you hear the Holy Spirit, if you don't hear the Holy Spirit communicate today, it's not because he's not talking, it's because you're not listening. Number three, you know the old phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy? Do you say that phrase around your home? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, the Bible has lots to say about that too. Don't mess with the Holy Spirit. We ought not to lie, blaspheme, insult, impede, or quench the Holy Spirit. Because if you do, ain't nobody gonna be happy. When we use this phrase, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, we aren't saying that women get upset inappropriately. When my bride is unhappy 9 times out of 8, it's because she realizes something that we need to do that we haven't yet realized yet. This phrase isn't said because women have a chip on their shoulder and are easily offended. No. When the Holy Spirit is upset, it's because you're not paying attention to some things that you really need to be paying attention to. 7 times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, 7 times in 2 chapters, John tells us to listen to the Holy Spirit. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. My fourth one is this. I love you. How often do you hear that from your father? How often do you hear that from your mother? You know, I love my dad, and we say we love you to each other, but it's just so much easier with mom, isn't it? Mom always says, I love you, I love you, I love you. In Romans chapter 5, it says this, in verse 5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us. How do we know that? Because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. How does God communicate his love to us? Through the Holy Spirit. And then there's this awesome prayer in Ephesians chapter 3. We preached on it this summer. It says this, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. Wow. In summary, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit, who gives you power to understand how much God loves you. The most difficult task of a Christian is not an encounter with a demon, world evangelism, or facing persecution. It is understanding the depth of God's love for you. And without divine help, we will never ever understand it. How deep, how wide is this love that God has for us? And that's the role of the Holy Spirit. Number 5, the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. Romans chapter 8 says this, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. When Diana was born, my oldest, she was diagnosed with Down syndrome. And I remember holding her in my arms, this literally newborn baby. And all of these negative thoughts flooded my mind. When you as a parent hear that your child has disabilities, you begin to mourn for the future they might not have. Will she drive a car? Will she graduate from high school? Will she have a love of her life? And all I could do as I held her was cry and moan. Oh God. Oh God. And the Holy Spirit heard me and moaned with me and translated my moaning to God the Father. The Holy Spirit, like a mother, is going to intercede on your behalf with exactly the right words and emotive language that will get the job done. If you're in trouble at school, which I never was, I was a perfect grade A student, it is most likely that your mom is going to go to the principal or the PTA and smooth things over for you. This feminine divine is working overtime for us to make sure that we're okay. Number 6, the Holy Spirit preserves a family. If it were up to me in my family, I just confessed this to Jenna the other day and she said, I already knew that. When Jenna's gone for a day and it's my job to watch the kids, when I get them up from their nap time, we have snack time, but we don't have snack time in the kitchen like we're supposed to do. We always have it in the living room because daddies do it different, right? But if it was up to me, we'd just have TV dinners and we'd eat around the TV every meal. And we'd have a mess of a house. But my wife, like the Holy Spirit, preserves our family. She has a wonderful ability to put out a nice spread and bring everyone together. And the Holy Spirit is also concerned about our family. Check out this first part of verse 30 in Ephesians chapter 4. It says this, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. So what's that talking about there? You know, I shouldn't murder someone, right? I shouldn't steal something. I shouldn't commit adultery. That's what this verse is about, right? These big nasty sins, I shouldn't grieve the Holy Spirit by doing them. But the rest of the passage goes like this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Some of these things are exactly the words that my wife has said to my kids as an awesome mother. Be kind to each other. Share that toy. Forgive her. Don't pull her hair. She keeps our family together. You want to know how a mom feels when you insult her baby? Go up to Walmart today, and if you see a mom with a baby, just start making fun of her baby. Boy, that's an ugly baby. Boy, what's wrong with this nose? Where'd he get that big honking nose from? You or her father? And don't say to me, I would never do that because you have said worse things this month about a coworker or a neighbor or a family member. And the Holy Spirit heard you, He noticed you, He cried, and He cares about your neighbors and coworkers. Number 7, the Holy Spirit is associated with joy. 7 times in the New Testament, 7 separate times, the Holy Spirit is associated with joy. If the Holy Spirit is described in these female metaphors, joy definitely makes sense. Men in this room, are your wives not the joy of your lives? Yes. Children in this room, is your mother not the joy of your family? Mom, would you please stand up for me just for a second? Just stand up just for a second. This is my mom, Diane Mitchell. Turn around. Everybody say, you're awesome. You can sit down. She is my lovely mother. When I was in college, I would travel 4 hours round trip each weekend to serve as a weekend youth minister. And on Sundays after youth groups, I would often drive back to college and call my mom on my cellular telephone. And talking to my mom on those trips was the world to me. I wasn't with her, but I was hearing her voice, and it filled me with joy every weekend. And talking to my mom has always been a huge joy in my life. Jenna, would you please stand up just for a moment? For those of you that don't know, this is my beautiful bride, Jenna Mitchell. Give her a round of applause. Turn around. We first started dating, so May 19th is this Saturday. Men, remember your anniversaries. It's very crucial. May 19th is our date-iversary, where we first began dating, officially boyfriend-girlfriend. And that's this Saturday, May 19th. And so it was at the very end of a college semester, and she said, yes, I'll be your girlfriend. And I was like, yes, I got a girlfriend. But then we spent the whole summer apart from each other, because I lived in Missouri that summer, and she lived in Delaware, where she grew up. And so we spent most of that summer on the phone talking to each other. And I still remember talking to you on my cellular telephone, sitting on a fence post, watching the sun go down over the rolling hills in Missouri, and you were the joy of my day. I couldn't wait to call you and tell you all of the things that was happening in my life and to hear all of the things that were happening in your life. You bring so much joy to me, Jenna. The voices of my life bring me joy, these motherly voices. To hear them laugh fills our homes with joy. I love Jesus. He is my King and my Lord, my Savior and my Shepherd. But the Holy Spirit makes me laugh like I do. The Holy Spirit makes me smile in the morning. It is the joy of my Christianity. I want to end this morning with some encouragement. Women and mothers, I want to speak to you specifically, directly to you, as I conclude this morning. Genesis 1:27 says that God made man and woman in his image. Here's the text. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And there are some characteristics of God that he embedded in men. Justice, anger, strength, logic, directions. But there are a whole lot of other divine characteristics that God puts in women that he did not put in men. Aesthetics, gentleness, compassion, mercy, wisdom. Proverbs 8 is all about the wise wisdom female quality. Women have the divine image in them as much as men do. Genesis 1 says as much. So women, you are very much like God. Because of what God has imbued upon you, his image, there is a great responsibility. The first female converts to Jesus are in Acts chapter 5, verse 14. But watch out. Just a few verses earlier in verse 10, Sapphira lies to the Holy Spirit and dies immediately. So you need to take, women, listen. You need to take your spiritual responsibilities seriously. You must teach the Spirit of God with your life and with your lips. How many men, women, and children have been converted to Christ because of a woman's testimony or a mother's persistent attendance and service in a church? Countless, thousands, millions. We need you, mothers and women of this church, to be faithful Christians, not just good moms or upstanding citizens. We need you to be servant leaders in this church, single women and widows. We need you to have a high standard for the men you date. Don't tolerate a fool who doesn't first love Jesus. Married women, we need you to be consistent with your Bible knowledge. Encourage your husband to read the Bible and pray together. Mothers and grandmothers, we need you to disciple your children and grandchildren. Years ago, Before Jenna and I had our own children, my friend LB, that was her name, LB and I were talking about homeschool versus public school. And she said a very profound thing that I will never forget. She said this: if I send my kids to public school or teach them at home, my responsibility is the same, to make sure that they have a well-rounded education. So raise your children with biblical values. You are directly responsible for planting and watering the seeds of Christian truth into your children and grandchildren. And this morning is a testimony to your success. You are not responsible for their growth or their faith. That's on God and them. But you are responsible for their Christian education and values. Some of you women in this room are waiting for a spiritual husband to take the lead about these matters, and you've been waiting for decades. The reality is that you already have a husband who has made you spiritual. I want you to hear a word of encouragement from St. Augustine. He said this: until Christ is your best husband, you're not ready to be married. Don't be afraid of the calling God has put on you to be a spiritual leader. And by spiritual leader, I mean servant, because that's what a leader is in the kingdom of God. Leaders serve, and they show others how to serve as well. Would you pray with me? Father God in heaven, I thank you from the bottom of my heart and soul for the motherly people in my life, for my mom, for my wife, for my grandmothers, for the grandmothers in this room, for the mothers in this room, for the great-great-grandmothers in this room. Oh, God. And to see your Holy Spirit with these metaphors reinforces that you, God, are without gender. You are above and beyond that. But God, you made us who we are with a purpose. And you are to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the laud. We praise you, God. So God, help us to be thankful not only for our moms this morning and the grandmothers this morning, but also thankful for what you've done and who you are as a God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who gave birth to me as a Christian and who guides me and communicates with me on a regular basis. I pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.